Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we could come together, just study your word. I pray that you would push me aside and that you would just speak through me, that these wouldn't be my words or my thoughts or ideas, that it would just be all you, that you would take away distraction, that you would open our hearts so we can just learn more about you, get to know you better so that we can live a holy life to please you. We love you so much. Thank you for your son. In his name we pray. Amen. Alrighty, well, sorry, hold on a minute. Got to make sure I don't go over time, so I keep a little stopwatch there, you know what I'm doing. So, Justin, you got the thing rolling? Okay, sweet, just checking. So, let's go ahead and read it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Wait, let me read it from my Bible. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans. I don't know what I just said. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, hold on a minute. Got to get a drink of water because you guys know what happens when Matt doesn't have water.
What's up, guys?
Cheer wine. Hey, hey, not that I'm plugging that you guys should buy stuff, but we have it here at the firehouse now, so just want to put that out there. It's the best soda ever, but that has nothing to do with Jesus except for he created things to please us, and that's one of them. So, anyways, real quick, let me break down the text. But, the word but, why do you think there's a but there? Rob last week talked about what? Tell me. What did Rob talk about last week? It's kind of like a therefore, whoever said that.
Cornerstone.
Okay, some people believed it and some people stumbled upon it. Okay, what else did he talk about? True, if we're believers. Okay, good points. Middle schoolers were like rattling off what we talked about the past 2 weeks because they take notes, some of them. It's pretty impressive. I mean, you guys might take notes. You take notes? Sweet. Oh, it's okay. Hey, I just recommend it. It's a good thing. Not when I do it because, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyways, Rob last week talked about the capstone rejected by men. Peter is not talking about the people that were rejecting this capstone. He's changing it. He's talking about the people that we're in verse 7. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. So he's talking to these people again. He's talking to the church, the fellowship of believers, the body. Okay? Group of people that love God are his people. That's the church. Okay? It's not a building. Just wanted to get that out there. Take a little stab where I can. We're a group of believers. We're a church. It's not a place. It's a people. So he's talking to the people of God. He's talking to the church. The church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Who knows what a royal priesthood is? Ooh, that's good. Royal priesthood, does anyone know? It's okay, that's what I'm here for. Actually, that's not what I'm here for. But this refers, let me refer back to Exodus. Should be on the board or whatever. 19 verses 5 through 6. It's not a board, it's a screen, it's a monitor. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. So, God was talking to Moses on top of Mount Sinai. He's like, listen, dude, this is the covenant. This is the deal I'm setting up with you. You guys keep this, you're going to be my people. You're going to be my royal priesthood. If not, well, I'll get there. But a covenant, okay, you guys have heard that term before, right? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, a covenant is kind of like an agreement, a promise between two peeps. Back in the day, some of the MICS volleyball girls heard this because I did a Devo on it, but they're not here because they're actually playing a game, so it doesn't really matter. Anyways, I forgot that they weren't going to be here when I wrote the message. Anyways, a covenant, two people, okay? They used to chop an animal in half and walk through its like dead corpse, like pulled apart. And basically it was saying this. You're like, what? basically it was saying this. Like, this is a two-way deal. If I don't hold up my end of the bargain, this piece is useless. And if you don't hold up your part of the bargain, this piece is useless. And so that's why they used to do that during a covenant. It was a symbol, okay? Does that make sense to you guys? Okay, the dudes that are in my Sunday school class, which is none of you guys here, but maybe some of you that were in my Sunday school class before, I always say this phrase, the Old Testament is an alley-oop for Jesus to come, okay? Yeah, alley-oop, like whoop whoop, basketball. Okay, so you might say, Matt, why are you talking about basketball when we're talking about the Old Testament? I'm going to explain that, but first of all, let's go over some alley-oops. Here's the deal. There's been some sweet alley-oops back in the day. There's some good ones now, especially in the NBA, because they get paid to do what they do. But we're going to show a clip real quick. This is my favorite alley-oop of all times.
Granger, his jump shot is off, no good. And pass to LeBron.
And literally throws it. Now, this is a hard pass because it's a baseball pass. And a baseball pass can take off on it. Now watch it. He's with one hand. And he just throws it right to the rim.
That is a good 90 feet in
the
air.
And it is a tough.
All right. Here's the deal. LeBron didn't finish it with a dunk, okay? So if it was me, it would have been dunked. But it's LeBron, so we'll just deal with what he did. Okay. Here's the deal. That's the sickest alley-oop that's ever happened, ever. Because it was full court. How many people have full courted an alley-oop before? Raise your hand. It's a lie. You haven't? You're a liar. Okay, here's the deal. It's the sweetest alley-oop ever. And even though alley-oops look really cool, and that's like why they do it in the NBA, because they can make shots from wherever, most of the time when people are playing basketball, the reason that they do an alley-oop is because they can't make the shot from where they're standing. If they're standing at half court, even like a half court alley-oop is pretty sick. If they're standing at half court, they lob the ball up there. They're not going to make it. 9 times out of 10, they're not going to make it, okay? So the whole point of an alley-oop is so that you can have somebody else help you make the shot that you couldn't make on your own from there. And that's why I talk about the New Testament, Old Testament being an alley-oop for Jesus to come, because this covenant goes to show that we couldn't have done this on our own. It's impossible for us to do this. And God knew that when he set up the covenant. It's not a two-way deal. It's a one-way deal that God set up with us. He knew that we weren't going to be able to hold up our side, but he chose to make this covenant with us anyways to show how powerful and how loving he is. And the Old Testament, like I said, is just an alley-oop showing that it showed failure after failure after failure that the Israelites did. And it's just this perfect time for Jesus to come in and boom, and just show what he does. And like I was saying, taking shots, you can't take a shot from way out there. You're never going to make it. And our shots are always going to fall short. Our shots at salvation are always going to fall short. We're never going to make it. We have to have Jesus do it for us. We can't do it on our own. We can't get to God on our own. It just doesn't work that way. Let me jump down to the next part. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We should praise him because he called us out of this darkness and into this light. Real quick, because we're kind of running late. The light's talking about salvation, but here's the deal. You have, who in here owns a flashlight? Okay, I carry a big mag light in my Jeep. I got the biggest one they make, mainly for a weapon, not necessarily a flashlight, because they're not the best flashlights in the world. Not that I carry weapons in my cars, because I want to hurt people. That's just weird. But anyways, they make flashlights, right? Flashlights. Has anybody ever heard of a flash dark? Anyone? You're also a liar. Okay? They don't make flash darks. You know why? Because darkness doesn't overtake light. Somebody, one of the middle schoolers afterwards came up to me and they're like, Matt, I love your sermon, but the only thing is that actually black holes swallow light. I was like, dude, have you ever been in a black hole? He's like, no. I was like, welp, you don't know it's true. So, anyways, if we're being all technical, black holes swallow light, apparently, because we've all experienced them. But here's the deal. Darkness cannot swallow or overtake light, okay? But the opposite's true. Light can overtake darkness, right? The light of Jesus can overtake darkness, which is sin, which is failure. Don't laugh at me, Kaufman. Come on. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you are. All right, let's be honest. Okay, Matthew 5:16. It's a sick, nasty, solid verse. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Okay, let's jump down to verse 10 real quick. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Again, Peter's talking to the church. This church was full of both Jews and Gentiles, okay? And it's talking about the people of God. That's always referring, was always referring to the Israelites, the people. You guys can't laugh at me while I'm preaching. It just doesn't work. God always refers to the Israelites, the Jews, as the people of God, okay? Us Gentiles, us non-Jew folk, we don't get that title, people of God, except for through Jesus. Beforehand, we would have just been Gentiles. But because of what Jesus did coming down on the cross and paying for our sins, when we accept Jesus, we now become a people of God. We're no longer Gentiles. We're all technically God's people, Jews, Gentiles alike. I'm not big wheeling, Caitlin, okay? But here's the deal. I don't think we understand the magnitude of being under this one-way covenant, this one-way promise, this contract that God made with us. Like I said, when you make a covenant, when you make a promise with somebody, a contract, okay? When I made a contract with the firehouse, I was like, you know, we'll give you this, this, and this if you work here. Like, I had to put in the work for me to get the benefits of working here, okay? Same thing with any job. Marriage is a covenant between two people because they're saying, I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain if you hold up your end of the bargain. But anyways, it's funny something happened, but you can see it, so, whoa. Anyways, a covenant. This is a one-way covenant with God. And we have to understand that God is going to do His part even if we mess up our part. And here's the deal. We're always going to mess up our part because we're sinful, okay? And that's why it's so significant. But we don't think about it because it's just something that we don't look at and we don't see every day. Do you cherish being a people of God? Is that something that you cherish? Is that something that you think is really important? Is that something that you're like, wow, I am a person of God. That is awesome. Is that something that you think about every day? On the flip side, if you had died and stood before Christ and had never heard the gospel, nobody had ever told you about Jesus, nothing had ever happened like that, you stood before God and He said, away from me, I never knew you. And you said to God, well, God, nobody ever told me. Who does that rest on? That rests on the people that never told Him. And that's, we have a weight. We have a responsibility. We didn't just join this club and now we're in the club. And then we just stay in the club, okay? This is salvation. This is something that God did for us. We join in with God, and now we're supposed to tell other people and share and evangelize. Imagine if it was you. Imagine if you had died and were standing before God, and He said, I never knew you. And you said, well, no one ever told me. How much would you give for somebody to have told you just one time who Jesus was? Just one time. Let me jump down. I'll skip to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. This is where we as Christians have to come along to these people, and we have to open their eyes and shine our light in their face. Not in an arrogant or I'm better than you or you need Jesus because you're a sinner. But Satan's literally blinded these people. He's put blinders over their eyes. They can't see this light because they've let in sin, they've let desires, and they've let in, that's not a word. They've let flesh get in the way. And we were the same way before Christ reached out to us. We were the same way. And so that's why we have to come alongside of unbelievers. We have to show them the light, and it's in the way we live. It's not running up and shining a Jesus flashlight in their face and saying, you're a sinner, you need God. It's showing them love, and I'm going to go over that in a little bit. But Satan loves to see us fail, and he really has an easy job, honestly, sometimes, because we're going to naturally fail. We have a sin nature, our flesh. If we're not asking God to crucify our flesh, if He's not doing that through us, our sin nature is going to win every time because it's our sin nature. That's why they call it a nature. It's something that comes natural to us. Okay, so we have to fight sin, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. And if being a person of God doesn't affect you, if the idea of somebody standing before God never knowing Him, if that doesn't affect you, you'll run into a personal experience in your life. I can think of times where people that I know have passed away, and I had to sit there and think, like, wow, did that person know Christ? And I don't know if they really did. And that should affect you. And if that doesn't affect you, I would honestly question your salvation. If you don't care if somebody experiences God or not, I would question if you really are saved. If it doesn't keep you awake at night that people are dying, specifically people that you know are dying and going to hell without knowing Christ, and that doesn't bother you, I would sincerely, honestly question your salvation. I'm sure somebody's going to get mad at me for saying that, but whatever, I said it. So, verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from your sinful desires which war against your soul. Okay, we should live as aliens and strangers, okay? You guys know what aliens and strangers are. I don't have to explain those words. But the idea is that acting upon things of this world should be like a foreign concept to us, okay? We understand the world because we live in it, okay? But acting upon the things of the world, living out our flesh, that should be a foreign concept to us. Who's seen the movie Space Jam? All right. That's better than middle school. It's a little bit of an older movie. I think Justin's going to pull the clip up in a second. Okay, but you guys remember the aliens off of Space Jam? Okay, the little multicolored dudes running around like a bunch of idiots. There they are. And my boy Bugs, okay? Here's the deal. So those of you that have seen it know the preface of the movie. But basically, here's the deal. These aliens are trying to steal Michael Jordan and make money off of him. And so they're trying to win him over. And they're like, well, let's challenge him to a basketball game. And they're like, yeah, basketball. And then one of them was like, wait, what's basketball? And it was a foreign concept to them because they didn't know what basketball is. I figured I'd stick with the basketball analogy since I went with the D-Wade video. But it was a foreign concept. They didn't understand what basketball was. Because aliens don't play basketball, okay? They probably play like laser tag or something. Oh, funny joke. Aliens don't understand what basketball is because it's a foreign concept to them, okay? I'm not saying aliens are real. I'm not saying they're not real, okay? So that's for you to decide. That's between you and God, okay? But here's the deal. Aliens don't understand what basketball is because it's a foreign concept to them. That's the same way sin should be in our life. We understand that it's real. But it should be a foreign concept to us because we flee from it and we avoid it, okay? The things of this world should be a foreign concept. And the idea of not that, oh, I don't know what sin is. It's we avoid it so much and we stay away from it that it's like a foreign idea for us to live it out in our own lives. Like I had stated before, darkness and light have no place together. You either have one or the other, and usually light always wins, okay, unless you're in a black hole. But this phrase, wage war, it comes from the word stratuio in the Greek. I wanted to say it right, so I looked up how to say it, you know, with the, like, U with a line and the dots over it. You know how they do that in dictionary? So I'm going to use it, and I don't want to sound like an idiot. Anyways, the idea is it's an idea of fighting. The definition means to fight or to be led into battle. So we should be led into battle daily against our sin. We should go to war. We should fight our sin, okay? You guys get the concept? Does that make sense? Fighting sin, okay? My boy Tadashi, okay? One of Lecrae's main men, okay? Any Lecrae fans in here? Any Tadashi fans in here? Wow, you guys need some serious sweet music in your life. Here's the deal. Tadashi has this video. Well, he has a song that they made into a video. And since this is high school and we're not in a time crunch, I'm going to have Justin go ahead and play like the first couple of minutes of it, and then I'll stop him so that you guys can hear a couple of things.
I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their addictions and their shortcomings, and I see so little war. Murmur. Why am I this way? Make war!
Blank with me for brain, blank.
That literally stopped at the perfect point because I was like getting up to like motion like, hey. So a lot of you have heard that song before. It's one of my favorites, you know, when I'm out there shooting hoops and making 13% on my free throws. I'm jamming out to Make War. I was going to say the first verse and the chorus have two sweet things I want to hit on, but I don't know if rap music has verses and choruses because it's just one flow and rhyme, you know what I'm saying? Right? So I don't know if it has verses and choruses. I think it's just one flow, you know? You know what I'm saying? Okay, wow. Nobody laugh at me. Okay. Anyways, here's the deal. The main part is talking about making war, okay, and how sin never sleeps. It's got you in a trance. It's that idea of it covering your eyes. I could go over it. I should have printed off the lyrics so I could hit on the two main points because I already forgot them because I was already rambling. But the reason I like the song is because it's the idea of attacking sin. It's the idea of attacking your flesh. It's not sitting back and watching it happen. It's actually going out and doing something about it and attacking it. And it's true, sin doesn't sleep, okay? you're going to keep on sinning. It's your nature, okay? But if Christ is living through you and you're seeking Him to fight the sin for you because you can't do it on your own, if Christ is fighting that sin for you, then that's how you have to do it. You can't do it on your own. Let's jump down to verse 12 real quick. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, here's the deal. This is what I want to stress with you guys, the idea of among, okay, the word among. All right, among doesn't mean like separate from or like sometimes with. It means like all the time, like among, like you're together, a big, what was the word I used in junior high? Oh, I used a really, conglomerate, that was the word. Like a big conglomerate, you like that? A big conglomerate, okay? We should be a big conglomerate with the pagans, and I'll go over that in a second. But we should live holy lives, okay? And it's not in a manner of like holier than thou or like I'm better than you. It's a manner of like I want to live holy because it pleases Christ, okay? And this is referring to the Gentiles when it says pagans, okay? It's not talking about just like dirty, rotten sinners that you judge and think bad of. It's talking about pagans. And when it says pagans, it's referring to Gentiles. When it's saying Gentiles, it's referring to people away from God, okay? So people that aren't a people of God are considered pagans in this verse, okay? So it's not saying, like, only the bad people, like super, super, super really bad people. Excuse me, I just burped because I'm fat. Here's the deal, though. Sinners aren't going to like the fact that you're not sinning, okay? I've said this 5 times, but I'm going to say it again because that's what I do. It is your nature to sin. It's sin nature, okay? And so these people with this sin nature, with this flesh, that are living by that instead of living through Christ and by Christ, aren't going to like the fact that you're not sinning, okay? They're going to accuse you of doing wrong because it's wrong to them not to sin, okay? They're going to call you an idiot. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say you're stupid. They're going to say you look ugly and blah, 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 and all these bad things about you, and they're going to talk smack about you. But here's the deal. That persecution, if that's what you want to call it, is no comparison to what people are going through in other countries for the gospel, what the apostles went through, what Christ went through, okay? So don't complain about it because it's nothing, okay? The persecution that we face here, excuse me, in America is nothing. It's not persecution at all, okay? Lost where I was in my notes. That's bad. But here's the deal. They're going to understand that you have a strong foundation. They're going to understand that you have that cornerstone. They're going to see your good deeds, and they're going to praise God because of what you did. Not because of what you did. I said that wrong. But because of what God is doing through you. And here's the deal. You should have friends that are unsaved, okay? When it says live among... It's not just like sometimes you hang out with them, sometimes you don't. Like, you should be among them, okay? And when it talks about see, that word see is actually referring to a process of looking over something continually over and over and over and over again. It's not just like you walk up to it one time and see it and leave. That word see that they use is this process, this long-term deal where you keep looking at it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's not just a one-time deal, okay? It's like that one Lecrae song. What is it? It's a process. It's not overnight. It's the same way with evangelism. Like, the process of evangelism, you loving people and showing Christ to people, isn't just this one-time deal. And it's not every time you walk up to them and hang out with them, like, hey, dude, like, I want to hang out. And you go to your pastor, like, hey, dude, I'm going to hang out with this kid because he's not saved. And you go to him, and you're like, go to the kid, and you're like, hey, you're a sinner. You don't have to do that every time. Just go hang out with them, you know? Just go spend time with them. And I just said this in middle school. I'm probably going to get emails from parents that are saying, you're telling my kids to go hang out with sinners, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal. I'm not saying live like them. I'm saying go spend time with them, okay? Because they're not going to know who you are, and they're not going to be able to live out what you live out if they don't know what you live out because they don't ever see it, okay? So go hang out with them. Go spend time among them, okay? Excuse me. So you should have unsaved friends. If you don't have unsaved friends, you need to go get some, because the whole deal about Christianity is trying to get other people to understand who Christ is and to love Him, and for people to get saved, okay? It's not like this unique club that you join that you don't want anybody else to join because, you know, you're too cool for them. Like, we want everyone to understand who Christ is, okay? So you need to go out and share it with them. You need to go live among them. You need to go share it with them. And they need to praise God, okay? And it's not anything that you're doing that's making them praise God. It's what God's doing through you. When you're letting Him fight off that sin, when you're letting Him fight off Satan, people are naturally going to see God flowing through you, okay? And you do it in love. Like I said, you can't just go up and say, like, oh, hey, I'm going to go hang out with this dude, and then you hang out with him and hang out with him. And every time you hang out with him, you talk about how bad he is and how much he needs Jesus. Just go hang out with him and show him love. Go serve him, like Robbie was talking about. Go serve people, okay? The whole reason we have House of Hope isn't so that we can hand out Publix leftovers. I don't know if you guys know that. The whole reason that the House of Hope is a ministry at our church is so that we can open up gospel opportunities with people by serving them, okay? So you guys need to find pagans, quote-unquote pagans. You need to find people that are away from God, and you need to serve them. You need to love them, okay? And don't give up on them, okay? Christ didn't give up on us, all right? Speaking of Christ, who did he hang out with the whole time he was here on earth? Sinners. Tax collectors, stealers, swindlers, and prostitutes the whole time he was here, okay? He hung out with the worst of the worst of the worst people, all right? You need to hang out with people that you wouldn't naturally necessarily hang out with. Again, this isn't hanging out and spending time and going and doing what they're doing. This is you showing them love at any chance and any opportunity you have, okay? If you have this unsafe friend, you know, that's like, hey, hang out with me all the time, okay? I'm not telling you to go out to party with people. I'm not saying go out and drink so that you can be cool with them. I'm not going to say go smoke pot so that they think you're cool, okay? And you guys think it's funny, but it happens, okay? Here's the deal. You guys need to hang out with these people and show them love, okay? When they offer something like that to you, they're like, hey, let's go to a party. You want to hang out with them? Come to this party with me. No, dude, like, let's go do something else. Like, how about maybe tomorrow we'll go shoot hoops together since I'm on this basketball kick, okay? Let's go play Madden 2007 together, okay? Let's go hang out and spend time together, okay? Do things on your terms, okay? Going and hanging out with sinners doesn't mean going out and partying with them. That means hanging out with them on your terms, okay? On God's terms, okay? Does that make sense? All right, so I know Rob is probably going to get emails, so I'm sorry. People are going to be all ticked off that I'm saying go hang out with sinners. All right, but I'm going to say it because that's what we should be doing, okay? Christianity isn't like this little Jesus club of a bunch of cool people that are goody-goody two-shoes, okay? Like, if that's what you think it is, like, sorry, you got the wrong concept. Like, go somewhere else. Like, that's not what we're here. That's not what we're about, okay? I'm just going off. That's probably dangerous. But show people who God is by love, okay? Show them that you care, okay? They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to care what you have to say, okay? You can't evangelize to somebody who doesn't care what you have to say because they're just going to be like, oh, I've heard that before. Like, oh, that God, dude, that's the same dude that some other lady was talking about holding signs out by the street that said I was a sinner and going to hell and all this stuff. So I don't want to hear about it, okay? Live these lives that people love who you are and they'll listen to you because of who you are and because of the light of Christ that you show them, okay? And one real quick thing to close, like, talking about living as aliens and strangers, like, we should look like aliens and strangers to the world, okay? The things that we do, they should be like, wow, they're, like, different. There's something different about them. Like, what's the good thing that they have that I don't? Because they're so nice. They're always nice to me. They're always treating me right. You know, they don't do all these things that are kind of questionable, and they're always showing me love, and they're always nice to me. They always care about me. They don't talk crap about me like all these other people. They don't treat me bad. They help me out at any opportunity they have. Like, there's got to be something different about this kid because of how he treats me all the time, okay? It's an opportunity for us to witness just by the way that we live, by showing the light to people. We should look different to these people. We should look like aliens and strangers in a good way, not like freaky green dudes with antennas. Like, we should look like aliens in a good way. Oh, somebody said, oh, I want to look like a freaky green guy with antennas. You can if you want. Buy a costume. So, buy a costume and go evangelize. But just key points for you guys to take home. Show people that you care, okay? Show people that you love them, all right? If you're going to go spend time with these unsaved people, don't treat them. Don't treat them bad. Go show them love, okay? You can't expect unsaved people to do saved things, all right? It's a concept like sometimes it's really hard for us to get. I know it took me a while to get. I was like, but they're bad and they do all these bad things. Like, I don't understand why. I keep telling them the right thing to do. Well, that's because it's their nature. It's what they're going to do, okay? You guys, I don't know why I keep saying okay, but it's happening. Okay? Okay, Miss Bounce. I literally love her. That wasn't a jab. Like, I'm just, that's what she says. I love her. She's literally one of the best teachers I've ever had in my life. Literally, literally, seriously, literally. Okay? But here's the other point. You guys, real quick to close, you guys have to wage war on your sin, okay? If you're not waging war on sin, if you're not fighting sin, if you're not trying to defeat sin through Christ, nothing that you can do but through Christ, if you're not doing that, all this other stuff isn't going to work out, okay? Because your sin nature is going to make you fall. Satan's going to try and blind you at any opportunity that he can. And it's really easy for him sometimes because, like I said, our flesh, it's easy to follow because it's something that's natural for us. We have to live through Christ. We have to let Christ live through us and work through us. If we're not fighting off sin, if we're not letting him take control, everything else that we're trying to do, evangelize, show these people love, it's not going to work, okay? If we're not fighting sin and we're not letting God live through us. Let me pray real quick, and then we can roll bounce out of here, and you guys can go hang out with your fire stations, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we could just come together and learn about you. I pray that the words I spoke weren't of me. I just pray that you were speaking through me, God. You are so powerful and so mighty. We love you so much. We're so appreciative of what you did. Even though we couldn't keep up our end of the covenant, you still kept up your end, God, and that was your plan all along. You knew that we wouldn't be capable of doing it. I pray that these students would go and hang out with pagans. These people that are far away from you, that don't know you, I pray that they would spend time with them, that ultimately they wouldn't just shove the Bible down their throat, but that they would just show them love continually over and over and over again, even if the person steps on their toes and makes them feel uncomfortable. God, I just pray that we would understand how to live like you. I just pray that we would make war against sin, that we would be able to battle sin through you. You're so powerful. You're so mighty. We love you so much. Thank you for sending your sons. In his name we pray. Amen.